Very good. Good song, good singing. That's good tonight. All right. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Been preaching on the home on Sunday mornings, on the church on Sunday night. And we're going to continue right on until we do different. And we have great needs. We have great needs with our country, our world. We know that. We have great needs in our church. We have great needs in our homes. Again, I believe our homes set the pace of what will go on in our church. It's the same heart. Everybody is an individual, though we be one body. And the body is made up of all believers. It's not denomination. We're not Baptist briders that believe that, or I'm not, because that's not in the Bible. I don't know what you are. I know I'm not. But Baptist brider, to where only Baptists are saved, because I don't believe all Baptists are saved. All right? But it's not a denominational thing. But it is a hard thing for those who are born again. And we become a body. And every heart makes up this body. Every heart. So we know we're different. But everybody's necessary. And some are more feeble than others. Sometimes part of the body is sick and can't be with us. We know that. Sometimes it's even some of the main cogs of the body. You know, and that's what we... Amen. Right. See? Got amen from heaven there. All right? But sometimes the main cogs of the body are sick. And it's always a joy when they're better and when they get to be with us. I don't want nobody to think that your absence goes unnoticed. And I don't want nobody to think that you're not important, because you are important tonight. You are. Don't never let the devil tell you that you're not important, okay? The devil told us that before we got saved, that God wouldn't want us. Then after God saved us, he said he don't really want you. He still lies to us. Everything the devil does is a lie. He is a liar from the beginning, and everything he does is a lie. And I want you to understand that tonight. You are important. But yet, even though we are important and we are part of the body, we have things that we got to work on as a church. And tonight I want us to listen carefully to the church, all right? Let's pray together. Everybody all right?
Yes.
Let's pray together. Father, we come tonight, and Lord, I sure thank you for the day. You give us a good day, and every day is a good day. Sometimes we fret and complain, but there's no such thing as a bad day with Jesus. And Lord, I sure do thank you for living in me. My failures are more than I can count. My mistakes are more than I can number. The good intentions don't help a thing. And God, that's what matters is what to do. Lord, help me to do right tonight. I pray that you would cleanse me, remove anything from my mind and heart that's hurtful. May I be in the will, in your direction, and may you speak to our hearts. Lord, help us not to leave this place without being changed or touched. And Father, I pray for those who will go back and listen, those who will go back and watch, that you might stir their heart as well. We're going to praise you for it all in Jesus' name and amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 has been our theme verse. All right, and then we'll look at our theme thought. All right, let's look at our theme verse here just for a moment. 1 Timothy 3:15 said, but if I tarry long... Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy. He said that, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And I believe the church, the body of Christ being the same, I believe it's vitally important. I believe that's what the Bible teaches, that Christ died for. He purchased the church with his blood. Now, here's the thing, though. We got to know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of the Lord. So what is our theme that we've been using? What is our theme? What kind of church would this church be if everyone in it was just like me? And Carl found this. I think it was Carl. Was it you, Carl, found this? All right. I'm going to read this because I thought it was good. So he put it on the wall. It says, what kind of church would this church be if everyone in it, if everyone is in it, if everyone is in it, was just like me? Is there something wrong with that, or is that me? If everyone... There's too many words in that or something. But anyway. All right. And it, I like what it says. This isn't just a question. It's a challenge. All right. Our church... Now listen to what it says there. Our church is only as strong as our willingness to change, grow, and serve. Boy, ain't that the truth. All right. Would it be rooted in God's Word? If we're all like me, huh? Will we be rooted in God's Word? Will the Bible still be our foundation in everything we do? Huh? If it was just like me. Will it be a place of prayer? If we're all like me, will we still depend on God and seek His will together if everybody was like me? Would it be a family? If it was just like me, would it be a family? Will we love, forgive, encourage each other like Jesus does if it was like me? Would it be marked by love, huh? If we're all like me, will others see the love of Christ in how we treat each other? Would it be our mission? If we were all like me, will we have a church that reaches out and makes a difference? This is really good, huh? It's going to be right with the message tonight. Would it glorify God? If we're all like me, will God get the glory in everything we do? Now it says God isn't calling us to be a church of me. This is real good. Listen. God isn't calling us to be a church of me. He's calling us to be a church that reflects Him. Let's do our part. That's good. That's really good. Carl, you're done well. All right? You're done well. And that's the colossal Carl. He's my superhero. All right? And what kind of church would it be? Let's say it together. What kind of church would this church be if everyone in it was just like me? Now you think about it. In every thought, if everybody thought like you do, if everybody acted like you do, if everybody responded like you do, if everybody's action was like yours, if everybody's reaction was like yours, if everybody's attitude was like yours, huh? If everybody prayed like you, if everybody read like you, if everybody studied like you, if everybody witnessed like you, just exactly. Now, we're all going to be like you. We're all going to be just like you. How will that be? How will that be? It's a good question. I feel like that's a good question. And I feel like we need to answer that in our own life, in our own heart. Now, by doing that, let's go over to Nehemiah. And we're going to give some thoughts about the church tonight. And we're going to look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2 is what we want to look at to start with. We'll be looking back and forth maybe through a few verses. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 2. Now again, we're looking at the church. Now this is not the only church. There's not but one church. Because there's not but one body. And there's only one head. Christ is the head. And there's only one body. This is a congregation of the body. This is a congregation of believers that have met here together to be in the will of God, to do the will of God, to do the work of God. Huh? That's what we're here for. All right? Now let's look at Nehemiah and we'll find the message for tonight. All right? Nehemiah chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gates of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down. And the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priest, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in? That's a great statement right there. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now, most of us know full well the story of Nehemiah and the walls of Jerusalem and what had happened. The city had been laid siege. It was destroyed and things was in bad shape. Nehemiah was a cupbearer and he had been working there with the king, and he got word that the walls, that Jerusalem was tore apart. And when he got word of that, it broke his heart. It burdened him. He prayed unto the Lord. The king asked Nehemiah, why do you look so sad? And he explained to him what was going on, asked some things of him there. The king gave him a letter to go get whatever he needed to rebuild the city. Things worked out. The Lord worked things out great. There's no doubt about that. All right. But there in verse 11 is when he got there just to see. He had heard about things. It's one thing to hear about things, but when you see things, then things is different. When you can see things in front of you, when you're told some things, sometimes it don't rest you. But when you see things, when you see it in front of you, then you say, huh, there's a bigger problem than what I realize. So it says that's what Nehemiah did. He went, he looked, and he didn't say nothing to nobody. He just went and looked himself, and he viewed all the walls. And there's thousands of messages that we could get out of these scriptures. We could go and we could dissect every wall and what they meant and what they were used for. But that's not what we want to do tonight. We want to just use the part of verse 13. It says, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port. And here's what we want to look at tonight. And viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down. I want us to think about tonight. I want us to view the walls that are broken down. I want to view the walls that are broken down. It's not a question if they're broken. Nehemiah maybe had a question before he got there. Just how bad a shape is it? But when he got there, he didn't say, well, I wonder if that's really broke. I wonder if that wall's really gone. He saw firsthand that the walls were broken down. So we're not gonna question the issue that there's walls broken down here tonight. We're not going to wonder if there's walls broken down. We're going to maybe view a few walls that are broken down at Mountain State Baptist Church. I'm not looking at the walls that's broken down in the whole body. I'm looking at the walls that's broken down in this body, with this congregation of believers, with those who attend under this roof of 807 West Webster Road, Summersville, West Virginia, 26651. That's what we're looking at tonight, is us and the walls, and we're part of this tonight, of the walls that are broken down. And I want us to think about some things. The first thing I want you to think about is that let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. I want this thought in our mind. First Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it be, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" I want us to think about that it's time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. It's going to have to begin with us. Us right here. We're going to have to view some things. We're going to have to decide in our own heart what we do and how far we go. We're going to have to decide in our heart whether or not we're going to be Christian or not. We're going to have to decide in our heart whether we be obedient to the Word or not. Now we brag to a point that we know a lot because we have so much Bible here, but to know a lot and not do nothing means we don't know a lot. Okay? Knowledge without obedience is no knowledge at all. All right? And we're going to have to view some things. The first thing I see is that there is a concern of the broken walls. Before we view the wall, we're going to have to see an attitude that ought to be within our church. And I'm going to ask you tonight, do you not see a problem within our local church, with our membership, with the people that attend? Do you not see that there's failing here at the church? Well, who is failing? It ain't the brick and the block and the carpet and the seats, it's us. It's not the tractor bar. It's not the mayor's place. It's not the brewery when you come into town. That ain't the issue. That's not the problem. Can I tell you, them things exist is the result of the problem. When places of sin excel in a community, the body of Christ is not doing their job. So that's not the issue. The issue is in the confines of the membership of this church. I can't answer for no other church, but for this part, this body. And we got to go back and see of what we used to be. Well, let's go back and see what we used to be. Let's go back and look and see what are we missing. How about the power of God, for one? We're missing what we used to have when it comes to the power of God. The drawing power of God for sinners. Where did that go? How about the fellowship of the saints? Where did that go? How about the getting along? Where did that go? How about the outreach? Where did all these things go to that we've had in the past? Where did the concern go? Well, Nehemiah wasn't even there, and he heard about the concern. If you go back in chapter 1, and let's look in let's just start at verse 2. "Then Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God." I'm going to ask you tonight, right, flat-faced here, right, flat-footed, are we mourning and fasting because of the problems that we have here in this local church, from the things that we've broken down? Has it concerned us enough that we weep? We're not weeping on the altar for the church. We're not weeping on the altar for our lost people. I can't even get all the men, listen to me now, on Sunday morning to come to the prayer room to weep. And Nehemiah was concerned about the house of God. And it's time that judgment began at the house of God. And we see the walls that are broken. Amen. And the anguish that Nehemiah had was broken. Read it again in verse 4. "And it came to pass when I heard..." He didn't see it, he heard. He heard the words. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. There was a concern over the broken walls. Yes. Do you not see? Do you not see? Huh? Do you not see the broken walls? Huh? Do you not see the broken walls? Look what he did. Verse 6. Let thine ear now be attentive. He goes to praying. This is reading 5 and 6. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes be opened, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house has sinned. Is everybody listening to me tonight? Listen, we can't blame the world. Can't blame, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We can't blame the world. We can't blame the world because it's going to hell and God, and it's again God. What we're going to do is blame ourselves. Nehemiah said, I have sinned. My fathers have sinned. It's time that judgment come back to the house of God, that me and you repent of our sins and go back to living clean before God and call on Almighty God. Have mercy on us, for what's at stake is more than we can even fathom tonight. Viewing the broken walls. Nehemiah's heart was broken, and it broke it enough that he called on the one who could fix it. And I'm asking you tonight, has it moved you? The changes? Has it moved you what we're missing? Has it moved you to prayer? Has it moved you to mourning? Has it moved you to weeping? Has it moved you to brokenness? Huh? I'm asking you tonight. Do you weep at home in your prayer closet? Do you weep over the condition of the church in your prayer closet, or is the door shut and locked because it's not used? Is your handkerchief left in the drawer because they're not necessary? Has our eyes dried up? Our amen has quit. I read years ago, old man preacher Vance Havner said, what we need is we need Mr. Wet Eyes and Mr. Amen back in the church. That'd help. Amen. Do we not understand what's happening? I want us to be looking at the walls now. The broken walls. Let's go back to verse or chapter 2. Everybody look at me. I'm not mad at a soul. I'm broken tonight. I'm broken over you. I'm broken over me. Them girls sung a while ago. They done a great job singing. Girls, y'all done a great job. It's hard to sing here. It's hard to preach here. Used not be. Y'all done a great job singing. One of them, my granddaughter, if they don't change, they ain't going to have nowhere to sing.
That's true. Amen.
I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your life. I'm concerned about your personal life. I'm concerned about your home. Do you understand that I pray for you?
Yes.
When you get a text message from me, that's not a group message.
Right.
Are you hearing me?
Yep.
Anybody here get any messages from me? It ain't a group message. I go down, if I got your number in my phone, and if I don't, I'm trying to make sure I get everybody's, and I ain't got everybody. Some of you, I call you two or three times. Some of you, maybe y'all need it more, Carl. Carl gets it on Messenger, on text, and phone call, and everything else. But you understand, I go, it takes time to text 150 texts. I'm not bragging, man. I'm going to tell you. Listen to me a minute. And I go down your name in my phone. And when I get to your name, let's say I get to Greg's name. Well, I pray for Greg and Maria, Luke, Levi, and Lexi. And then I pray for Greg's daddy, who's been fighting prostate cancer. I pray for Mark, Maria, Daddy. Huh? And then I pray for Mike and LaDon, even though I'm going to again in a minute. I pray for Mike and LaDon because they're part of Greg and Maria and the kids. And then I go down and here comes Maria's name. And then I pray for Maria. Well, I just did. But I pray for anyway because she's his name. And I go back and then I pray for her and Greg and Levi and Luke and Lexi. And then I pray for Mark again. And then I pray for LaDon. And then I go down. And I go down the list. Why do I do that? I will tell you why. Because there's some walls broken down. And they're broken down in your heart. And they're broken down in your life. And it seems like you're not seeing it.
Right.
Huh? That's what it seemed like. I've watched you make decisions that took you away from the church house. That can't be the leadership of the Lord. The Lord don't lead you away from His house. The Lord don't lead you away to do nothing. The Lord don't lead you away. Be careful how you walk.
Amen.
God don't lead you away from Him. He cries to call to follow me. To get close to me. That's the call of God. Huh? Nehemiah was broken. I'm broken tonight. I'm not Nehemiah. No, no, no. But I believe with all my heart God has put me here in His place.
Amen.
I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help me. Huh? Listen to me. We got to see the brokenness of the walls. One of the first things, let's look at some broken walls tonight. Because I don't want to lose your attention. How about the wall of attendance? How about the wall of attendance? Alright? The wall of attendance. I shared this at a staff meeting. I shared this with the staff earlier. And we'll share it with the whole church just now. The wall of attendance. The wall of attendance, that's you coming to church. Yeah. You know, I have not, everybody takes vacation. There's no problem people taking vacation. No problem at all. Everybody needs a vacation, all right? What I don't understand is how a church at this size can, on average, now I've got the numbers, on average, have 123 people miss every Sunday morning. You tell me that the wall is not broken. You tell me and convince me that the wall is not broken. It's not all the same 123 people. But from January all the way through, especially the month of June, at 123 people on average. One Sunday, 145 missed on a Sunday morning. I got your names down on paper. Typed them out. It ain't just a number I pulled out of my head. I wrote them down and counted them. 145. Listen, I understand we go vacation. I understand. But there's a problem somewhere with the wall of attendance when that many people miss every Sunday. The wall's broken. The wall's broken. It's broken. Are you hearing me? And we still run over 200 and some here. That our average attendance ought to be almost what it was when we had COVID. Our average attendance should be 339. And you say, well, that's not, it means something because that means it's you. You know you're a number. Do you know your husband and wives and kids are all a number? Do you know the babies in the nursery are a number? Do you know that? What I'm wanting you to see tonight, we're talking about a church and, huh? We do. And Steve, I got a, I looked tonight, Steve, on the back of that bulletin. We need to, if, I don't know, I think them are already, the front and the back are already copied. But the next time you make new ones where it says, this is still our vision, put it in bigger letters, great big letters. And don't change them, I mean, wait till you got to do it. But you know why? Because the vision ought to be for a church to keep on getting it. Huh? You know why we don't have a new building? The only thing keeping us from it is unfaithfulness. The only thing keeping us from have to build a new building is the unfaithfulness of the membership of the church. Are you hearing me? Not new people coming. The unfaithfulness of the people not to be here. You know why? Because the walls broke. It is. Huh? Not only the wall of attendance, how about the wall of outreach? The wall of outreach is broken. Not only the wall of attendance for the body to be in the house of God, but the wall of outreach. Let me ask you, how many sinners have you brought to church this year? How many sinners have you brought? You know a bunch. How many have you brought to church this year? We got a list. Although everybody didn't fill out a prayer list. Everybody didn't give me a personal list of your lost people. But I've got it of what the ones did. All right. How many lost people have you brought this year? We're already starting on the seventh month. How many? Well, let me ask this. How many people have you brought, period? Is our outreach broke? Is our outreach broke? These are questions that I have no answer for. But I believe the walls will be broken. What happened to our wall of worship and praise? There was a time that we couldn't even sing page 70. You couldn't hear the piano. For the commotion of the church, because we were so excited that someday we was going to see Christ.
Amen.
And now it's almost like the song leader sings a solo. What happened to her? What happened to that wall? It used to be a wall that was built up and strong. Our wall of outreach used to be strong. Huh? Our wall of attendance used to be strong. There was a time we had 20 cars parked off the church property. There was a time we didn't have nowhere to sit. That we was trying to figure out if we was going to move the choir and have the choir set up here all the time. The walls broke. Who broke it? Who's part of the wall that's broke? Does it concern you as it did Nehemiah? Do Does it concern you? Has it driven you to prayer? Has it driven you to tears? Have it driven you to mourning and fasting and weeping and prayer? Has it moved you yet? How long do we have to keep seeing the broken wall before we decide to fix it? The wall of worship and praise. I would love it to get on to where I didn't preach. It's a whole lot better when the big preacher preaches. You can't sow seed when the wind's blowing. Huh? You can't sow seed when the wind's blowing. It'd be good if the wind was blowing. Huh? Now it's trying to sow seed on hard ground. Huh? The wall of prayer. There was a time when most every Sunday, it was more rare for it not to happen than to happen when people come out of their seats during devotional and was laid on the altar and pray. Moved all through the service. But that wall's broken. I've done told you that the prayer room is broken. The men of the church ought to take it upon themselves to be here at 9:30 on Sunday morning. All the men. If we got to go outside in the building and pray because the room's too small. We ought to pray for the service. I'd schedule a Saturday night prayer meeting. But I would love to meet at 9 o'clock on Saturday night and pray. Would you come? We had prayer a couple years for revival. We had prayer at 10 o'clock and 6 o'clock and only a handful come. Listen, I'm not growling. I'm not complaining. I'm trying to get us to see that there's walls broken in our church. It's one thing to be broken. I think my biggest concern is it's not moved us. Maybe that's because of the wall of apathy. There is a wall of apathy because our wall of concern is broken. See, what it is, it's out of sight, out of mind. See, I don't doubt that when you're here, you notice people gone. Right? Let me ask you this tonight. Of the 123 people that was gone, 100, there was 100 and, what did my paper say, 119 gone today? What was it today? What was somebody? Somebody got their paper? What is it? There's the last page. What was it? 100 and what? Somebody give me the number right quick. I left my number, my paper on my desk. What's the number missing today? 111. There's 111 people missed today. How many people? Did anybody check on anybody today? 111 people were missing from the preaching service. Not downstairs. Come on, from the preaching service. Did anybody check on anybody this afternoon? You noticed they wasn't here. I'm going to tell you, when you noticed they wasn't here, you said, I wonder why they're not here. But out of sight, out of mind. Because when you left the church, it forgot. What do we do? What do we do? I'm talking about viewing the broken wall. That's what we're doing. When I give the list to the staff a while ago, I give them a list of every Sunday morning of June. And I give them a list of every name that I could remember that was gone on Sunday morning. And then I wrote who was on vacation that I knew that said I was on vacation, that told me they was going to be on vacation. And then I had a list of those sick and in a hospital. And then I had a list of those who just come every now and again. But I didn't count none of them names. Everybody follow me? See, the only ones that's counted was those who was on vacation and those who just didn't come. And this morning they was up, what did you say, 111? Now, again, I'm just showing you. But out of sight, out of mind. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but some of them on the list, most of you don't even know. If I'd give everybody a list and said, do you know everybody? You'd hold your hand and say, well, who are these people? And it ain't people that just started. It's people that come for a long time. You know why? Because the wall of concern is broken and we've built a wall of apathy. And out of sight, out of mind. And we can only play the bad memory card so long. We can only play the bad memory card so long. Then there's opposition to the walls anyway. See, everyone is not wanted. See, there's opposition. Nehemiah had opposition because Sanballat, some of them come to him and said, why are y'all fiddling with all this? Don't worry about these walls. Let it go. And there are some people, if they miss, we don't care. We don't care if they come or not. We'd just soon them not be here. Everyone's not supportive. Our buses are down all over the country. That's not just here. Sunday school's downstairs. Wednesday night is down. We ran a van on Wednesday. There was a time, you know, remember the time when we had 130 on buses? Yes. Yeah. Remember? Do you remember that? Ain't been that long ago we had 130 on buses. Now we have 35. But everybody's not supportive because we're busy. I know that. I know that. The only thing I'm doing tonight is trying to view the walls which are broken down. So I'm trying to do tonight. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm not. But who else do I tell it to? Right. Who else do I tell it to? What do we do? Do we rebuild the walls or do we forfeit the ground? Father, I've looked at the walls and it's broke my heart. But I wonder if it's broken enough for me to change. I ask you tonight to forgive me for apathy. Forgive me of neglect. Forgive me of failure. Help our church tonight, I pray. And I'm going to thank you for all that you do for us, because it all comes from you. In Jesus' name, I ask all this. And amen. Let's stand.